Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at economics. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today we have Dr. Tom Cargill from the University of Nevada, Reno, to talk about Keynesian economics and the government picking winners and losers.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Rachel Pellissier, Mike Bosma, and Bob Kroll. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Mark your calendar for Senior Fest, September 6th, Reno Town Mall. Free health screenings, food tastings, resource information. That's Senior Fest, September 6th, 9 to 2, Reno Town Mall. Call 348-0717. Senior Fest is brought to you by these sponsors.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Mark your calendar for Senior Fest, September 6th, Reno Town Mall. Free health screenings, food tastings, resource information. That's Senior Fest, September 6th, 9 to 2, Reno Town Mall. Call 348-0717. Senior Fest is brought to you by these sponsors.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome Tom Cargill to the program. He's professor of economics at the University of Nevada. Let's start out with looking at Nevada's economy. Do you think we've hit bottom at this point?
That's hard to say, but the answer is probably no, because house prices are still continuing to fall. In fact, just this morning I looked at the Case-Shiller house price index for Las Vegas. It goes up to May, but prices are still declining. Foreclosures are projected to increase. Population is declining.
Isn't that a good thing, population declining? In the sense that you can't fix unemployment by creating the jobs that were there before, so therefore don't people have to move to where the jobs are?
Well, to some extent, yes, for those people that leave, if they can find a job somewhere else. But when the population base declines, that reduces demand for services and things of that nature, reduces tax revenue, presents a more difficult fiscal situation for the government, and it also artificially lowers the unemployment rate. And so even though the unemployment rate's fallen, it probably has fallen more because of people leaving the labor force, either leaving the state or moving into what we called discouraged worker status.
Is there any bright spots you see in Nevada's economy right now?
There's an uptick in consumer spending. That's also shown nationally. But frankly, aside from that, no.
Yeah, I want to get back to the previous conversation where we were talking about losing population. I've always been a growth is good kind of guy. You want to see growth. You want to see population growth. That is something that helps move the economy upwards. But you said, you know, when you have less government services, do you think that if you do have a population decline and you are able to shrink government, that maybe you could see a benefit there?
From that fiscal perspective, yes. But politically, it's extremely difficult to do. One thing that we've learned over the last 50 to 60 years, actually since the Keynesian Revolution, where government was seen as a solution to many problems. And once government gets into the picture, it's very, very hard to ratchet back. Tremendous political pressure is exerted on anyone who really wants to significantly cut government spending. And you saw that in the debt ceiling debates.
We saw it in the 2009 legislative session.
With all due respect, the Republicans are almost as silly as the Democrats. They're talking about spending cuts. Well, that's almost like 1984 George Orwell newspeak. Those are not cuts. All they're doing is going to cut the growth of spending from 8% to 6%. The people in Washington, D.C., with a few exceptions, when they talk cuts, they just talk slower growth rate. It's extremely hard to do.
Okay, let's talk about an article in yesterday's New York Times, Richard Thaler writing. He says, with the excess capacity in the construction industry and millions of unemployed workers, we have the unique opportunity to buy roads, bridges, and schools on sale. Instead of creating jobs now and improving our infrastructure for the rest of the century, Congress is debating futile resolutions about future chastity. Your thoughts about that?
I'm not quite sure what the argument is.
What he's saying is that you have a huge excess capacity in the building industry
That's correct.
And you have very, very low costs because of that everybody's fighting for every dollar. You're seeing that in the Silver State. And he's saying build infrastructure, utilize this time to build infrastructure for this country.
Well, I think there's a couple of problems with that. The first is that costs will not be low because most government contracts are at union wages, so wages won't go down just because there's a lot of unemployment in the construction industry. And many of these projects are politically sensitive. Government has a propensity to pick one winner for every 100 losers, and so a good deal of money will be wasted. This is a terrible idea. It's the usual thing that comes out of those that believe that government can manage the economy. If you really want to get the economy growing, the first thing you've got to realize is you're not going to end this quickly. Secondly, we need really major tax reform. And that means getting rid of all of the deductions and lowering taxes and simplifying the tax code. You want to provide incentives for people to invest and create jobs. You have to have a drastic reduction in government regulation, especially under the Obama administration, but with all due respect, the Bush administration too. And we need a longer, sensible Federal Reserve policy rather than these people who sort of run the Federal Reserve and we put all of our faith in them that they know how to manage the economy. They don't.
You know, Steve Wynn said it before, and Dean Heller said it again this weekend, that President Obama, his policies have been a wet blanket on the economy. Do you think that if Barack Obama does not win re-election in 2012, and we do get someone who is less Keynesian in their ideas, that we will see an upturn in this economy?
Keynesian economics is failed. There's an ideology behind it more than just economics. The ideology is belief in government. But to your question, it's possible. And that happened with the one-term presidency of President Carter.
It took a couple years, though.
Of course. You don't get out of a situation quickly. We have to get rid of this idea that the economy is a machine. It's not like your car that it's missing, so all you have to do is make an adjustment and it'll run perfectly. It's too complicated. It took at least 2 to 3 years before the economy stabilized. And then that set the path for sustained economic growth for the next 15 years, in which the Clinton administration benefited from. Now, is it possible? It's going to be more problematical because we're further down the line in terms of deficits, in terms of the extent of government regulation. What we're really seeing is the collapse of the welfare state, of the entitlement state. It's beginning to unravel. And you're seeing it in Europe, you're seeing it in...
44 million on food stamps.
What's happened is that politicians, when they spend other people's money, and I don't mean to... You know, Democrats and Republicans are equally guilty of this. Obama clearly has, you know, he gets the gold star. But Bush gets half of a gold star. And we're seeing the unraveling. And the politicians don't know quite how to handle this because the only way that they stay in business is by spending money.
All right, let's take a break. More with Tom Cargill when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tom Cargill, his professor of economics at the University of Nevada. And I want to point out that you come from a conservative position, but you're laying blame equally on Republicans and Democrats today. You know, one of the things that's frustrating to me, and I know to a lot of other people, is that the answers to our economy are not complicated. In fact, David Walker, who was the former comptroller of the United States, went on a speaking tour a couple of years ago that was highlighted by 60 Minutes, talking about the specifics of what needs to be done with our economy to put us on the right track again. And his reasoning for doing that was that nobody would listen to anything he had to say. You've had Simpson Bowles come out, and Mr. Walker himself is heading up an organization called Comeback America. And he talks about things that need to be done, because if we don't get them done now, we are going to pay a much higher price in the future. That all this notion of cutting taxes and cutting taxes and cutting taxes, all we're really doing is pushing off those bills to the future, because America has already decided that we are going to pay the bills. The question is, do we pay them now, or do we pay them in the future under much more crisis conditions?
And that's going to happen. For example, no reputable economist or analyst will tell you that Social Security is sustainable with its current structure, despite our senator claiming that Social Security is in fine shape.
And Mr. Walker says, push the retirement age up over the next few years to 69. Is that so terrible?
No, but look at the reaction. And part of it, here's the problem. The ideal politician would come to the American public and try to be an educator and explain that there are choices, that we have limited resources, that bad decisions were made in the past, and both sides have to take responsibility because both contributed to it. We simply cannot maintain Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or the welfare state.
Or defense.
There are some elements of defense. There you have to be a little bit more careful.
There's an awful lot you could cut.
I agree.
Pulling out of Afghanistan and Iraq.
Although there's a much, much bigger difference to the economy about neutralizing some of those external threats than providing entitlements for people.
We may have a little bit of disagreement here on that. And defense is not that big of a deal compared to our future deficits, compared to Medicare and Social Security. But here, see what happened. The seniors, they get all upset. And this is really selfish, and I'm in that category, and it becomes intergenerational warfare, where seniors say, no, I earned it. Well, no, they didn't. most people are getting far more than they put into the system.
I mean, from the standpoint, though, that, yes, you earn it. I mean, we pay, what, 7.65% of our salary goes to the federal government, and who knows what they do with it. You know, Al Gore was famous for saying it's in a lockbox, but, I mean, that lockbox was rated, you know, 40 years ago. So, you know, when people say, hey, I paid into it, I mean, there is something to that.
Well, they did pay into it, but what it has to do is the rate of return that you're getting. And the system is politically corrupt. I mean, for example, the way in which they calculate your retirement is based. What they do is they adjust it not just for inflation from what you made in the past, but for inflation plus productivity. There's no rational reason in the world why an individual should get that productivity boost in calculating their retirement. It should be based on what they actually earned, and whatever productivity is built into that, just adjusted for inflation. The annual inflation adjustment overcompensates Social Security recipients because there's an upward bias to the CPI index. Everybody knows it. But if any politician came out and said that we should adjust that, all hell would break loose, and that politician would probably lose their seat in Congress, or because an opponent would come and say, you wanted to destroy Social Security. And this just goes on and on and on. We have limited resources. We have more things that we can do with those. That is, we can't do everything that we want to do. So part of the problem, the solutions are actually quite simple. Adam Smith spelled them out in 1776. They're very, very simple in how you structure an economy. He called it a simple system of natural liberty. That you do need government, but you want to minimize that role of government. You want to provide incentives. You want to make people responsible for their decisions. Those solutions are easy. It's education. And, you know, we have...
I got a hold of you because we're out of time, but you're always welcome to come back. But really, what we're doing is, if we push this off into the future, what we're doing to the unborn and to the young children of today is taxation without representation, because they are going to pay the bill.
This is intergenerational theft.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
For more than three decades, the Jefferson Award has honored outstanding individuals who have donated their time and service to make their communities a better place. News 4 and Wells Fargo are giving these unsung heroes the recognition they deserve. To nominate an outstanding Jefferson Award candidate, write or call us at News 4 or visit our website at mynews4.com.
Watch for the Jefferson Awards the second Wednesday of every month on News 4 HD.
Save big at the JM Furniture's Labor Day 10 sale now through Labor Day. Save $200 on this five-piece counter-height dining set with built-in Lazy Susan. Save $200 on this Made in America sofa or love seat, both with lifetime warranty. Or how about this power recliner at just $499? That's an incredible saving of $200. And this two-tone microfiber sectional at just $799. All this and huge deals on closeouts, mismatches, one-of-a-kind and more at the JM Furniture Tent Sale now through Labor Day.
Takeout meals for just $12.99. Call now.
Sherry Pearson? Are the sole surviving heir of the King of Montanopolis, and you are now worth $45 million.
I'm rich! This can't be real.
Of course it's not real. Come on. Having money isn't about luck. Like that takeout meal. Cook at home instead, you can save thousands a year. Feed me.
Feed the pig!
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. We're joined by Mike Bosma, president of the Bosma Group. Pleasure to have you here. First time on the program, Michelle Pellissier with Restart Reno, and Bob Kroll, mayor of Carson City. Pleasure to have you all here.
Good day.
Paul, I'm going to start out actually with you here. This was an editorial from the Review Journal. Judge Nix's county's pro-union giveaways. Clark County officials have insisted for months with straight faces that requiring union labor on a $27 million jail renovation would save taxpayers' money. The laughable argument was a lousy attempt to conceal what such project labor agreements really do, discriminate against non-union workers and companies while padding the pockets of unions, driving up the costs. This month, District Judge Jerry Weiss called the county on its union pandering.
Well, I think Judge Weiss was absolutely right. I think that
this is a big story.
It's a huge story. We'll see what the Clark County Commission does. You know, if they do come in and say, okay, we're gonna open this up to everybody, but project labor agreements do increase the cost of public works projects, and it absolutely is unfair to your non-union contractor who is required to hire people to do that job who aren't his own employees. I mean, there's something really un-American about that.
Well, I think that you have to look at each project labor agreement on its own merits and on its own printed word. I think the idea is to make sure that whatever you do, you're fair to both union and non-union people so that you get the right price. And it's my two cents on it. I think you want to put as many people to work as you possibly can, whether union or non-union.
One of the companies I work with through our advertising agency has been forced in the past to hire union workers. They get the worst workers sent out of Sacramento to Northern Nevada. It's just a disaster. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously there are good union workers out there. You know, that we're only getting the ones sent out of Sacramento, I don't know that that's true. But if we can put to work, as the mayor says, if we can put to work the people we have out of work here in Nevada, then it can only be a good thing.
No matter the cost?
No, that is not the truth. Obviously, we need to deal with the cost, and union labor is going to be a higher cost than non-union labor.
And I'm not knocking union labor, but world are we living in right now?
I said, wouldn't we rather put five people to work at a real wage on what this work takes rather than put two people to work at some inflated wage? I mean, at the end of the day, those three people that are off the roll are on unemployment, so it's just like, why are we kidding ourselves? Let's just let our capitalistic society work and, you know, get the best product for the cheapest price and let it work.
Absolutely. Infrastructure should be about creating projects at the best project for the buck, for the taxpayer's dollar, and not about creating a jobs program.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, you're involved in a major effort to rebuild your downtown. When you look at these kind of things, you know, from your perspective as a mayor, how do you look at this?
Well, I look at it as one, from a cost standpoint, you have to look at it from that point of view, and you have to make sure that, you know, you've got the private sector that's cranked in there, and two, you want to make sure that the majority, if not all, of your employment base comes from your community or your surrounding area, so that you get the biggest bang for your buck. You know, it's not terribly easy to do that, but that's the goal. You want to make sure that the private sector is participating, the public sector is participating, and that you have the best wage rates that you can, and their local employees. You know, whether that's union or non-union.
Let's turn to some of the things. What struck you most about what Professor Cargill said on the program this morning?
Well, actually, what was really interesting, I thought, is just, you know, kind of that without a jobs program in this state, that we're not going anywhere. And I 100% agree with that. It's like there's not a lot of hope unless something changes from a leadership perspective to really have a program to grow this place. Because as population decreases, it's going to continue to create a downward pressure on both prices, real estate prices, the whole thing. And so it's just a matter of, unless there's a real program to create jobs in this place.
But are you talking about government program, or are you talking about how can we encourage the private sector to come here and grow the economy?
I would say get government out of the way, and entrepreneurs will come.
Well, at the end of the day, though, you know, you look at there's an article about what the Nevada Development Authority is changing the marketing strategy to where they're trying to entice businesses to come here because of the quality of life that Nevada has. And to me, as the mayor, the government's role is to create an infrastructure or a framework where businesses and people can live, work, and play in peace and security and prosper. And there's a role for government, you can't just say there's no role for government. And when you focus, there's no doubt there's need for tax reform. Okay, but when we focus solely on taxes, when we overlook the other quality of life measures that are important to people, we do ourselves a disservice. And I think we need to keep that in mind as we go forward and try and bring companies here.
Well, I think that he talked about our population minimizing.
Contracting, yeah.
Yes. The people who are leaving are those who do work, who do have a skill that they can put forward. What that leaves is the people in need, that need our services so badly, but we're not making, the money off of the people who are working to help with those services. So the reduction of our population does not leave a good situation for us, and I think that was really telling when he talked about that.
Paul, you get the last 10 seconds.
Boy, Sam, thanks a lot. I mean, I think that Professor Cargill was absolutely right. Keynesian economics has failed. We need to get more to the free market, and we need to have government stop picking winners and losers in the economy because it doesn't work.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Awesome. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 30 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just
$18.95. We deliver 30 wings.
Piping hot all over town.
Work ethic, experience, knowledge of the law, and negotiation skills are all qualities that are necessary for effective legal representation. I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have a legal question, call me for a free personal consultation. In my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
Attention if you have diabetes.
Hello, I'm Alan Thick. As the father of a child with diabetes, it's important that I keep up to date with the latest in treatments and technology. That's why I'm happy to tell you about a breakthrough in diabetes care through CCS Medical. You don't need to stick your fingers anymore. This new meter allows you to test on your arm, so it's virtually pain-free. Plus, it uses gold test strips. Real laser-etched gold in every strip provides the ideal testing surface for one of the most accurate readings possible. Best of all, CCS Medical can send you this meter at no cost. With CCS Medical, they deliver your diabetes supplies to your home. They work with Medicare or your insurance to process the paperwork. They even have nurses certified in diabetes available to answer questions. And for a limited time, CCS Medical will also send you a diabetes ID bracelet. All this from a company trusted and recommended by thousands of doctors around the country. Call CCS Medical today.
Is celebrating over 30 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $18.95.
We deliver 30 wings.
Piping hot all over town.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam tomorrow, Annette Whittemore.
With Whittemore Peterson, this is Super. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching.